All right, so now give me your fantastic summary from last class. Let's have it. What are the concepts that you took away, that you studied, that you understand? Then we're going to go into your notes on the videos because we got to move on down the road. With you, Tavon?
Excuse me.
Welcome, Safia. All right, Tavon, let us have it, brother.
Okay, let's see. Some of the things that I learned that I took away from that I went over. One thing that I think from was how in the Great Depression, the unemployment rate was low comparing to now. And I'm learning a lot and getting a better understanding of how and why we're in this position that we're in now, as far as economically. So that's one of the things that I took away. And
Wow.
me and my mom had.
Whoa. Then you're learning a lot. See, do know that at Aya, a lot, you might as well start taking that out of your vocabulary. It's okay for you to put it, but you know the follow. What's the follow-up going to be when you say, I'm learning a lot? Y'all help him out. Y'all tell him. What's the follow-up going to be? You don't know?
We don't
Come
know.
on, Nima.
Come on, Nima.
I guess it would be like examples of what you
Thank you
know.
very much. Thank you very much. See, if you remember, if you're learning a lot, then it's easy for you to throw out three examples, okay? So if you ever say to me, I'm learning a lot, you just know you can hear my voice. So, for example, okay? Because I'm learning a lot is nothing. If you say, oh, that's interesting, what's my follow-up going to be?
Why is it interesting?
That's right. What's interesting about it? Why is it interesting? You know, so, you know, what do you think about it? Oh, it's interesting. You haven't said anything. It's just a placeholder, okay? And has no real place in terms of scholarly discourse. So please, Tavon, you said you're learning a lot about why we're in the shape we're in today. Then give me two reasons.
Okay. I was I one of the things I learned was how come this country is not out of debt, and how come it's been in debt for a long time now, is because when they go to borrow the money from the Federal Reserve, all the plans that Obama made to get this country out of debt, that was used in the money that he was getting to support that plan was a loan. So we're going deeper into debt. That absolutely makes no sense because eventually we will never get out of it eventually. We'd end up actually paying more because of the interest on the loans. So that's one of the things I learned. And also, let me see. I learned from the Making Our Own Sense section how it gave me a better understanding of how if we make our own currency, it doesn't have to be money, it could be currency or just bartering. That can also help the economy a lot because if everyone does that, it's kind of like you're working together to make your community's economy better. So that gave me a better understanding of.
All right, thank you for those examples. I appreciate those. Those are right on time. One quick follow-up question. Tavon says it doesn't have to, it's currency, but it doesn't have to be money. It could be bartering. We talked about that last time. What's the difference, Safia? Are you here, Safia? Between currency and bartering? Safia going once. Twice, she stepped away. Abdullah, what's the difference between currency and bartering?
Because currency has a value and bartering doesn't have like a set value.
All right, Nima, what's the difference between currency and bartering?
I would think that it's that bartering, you trade goods for goods, and with currency, you pay whatever your money is for goods.
Right on the money. That's the definition that Safia put in last time that we got clear about. Bartering is not the same thing as having your own currency. Bartering is good thing, and currency, because there's a medium of exchange, as Nima said. Bartering is goods and services for other goods and services when there's no other medium of exchange. Do y'all understand? I said, I will wash your car. and you say you will fix my computer. Okay? There is no other medium of exchange. Goods for goods, services for services, or goods for services and services for goods, but there is no medium of exchange. Once you enter, bring a medium of exchange, that is money, that is currency. Do you understand, Tavon?
Yeah.
Okay, and let's not run away from it. Like, it doesn't have to be money is bothering. I'm sorry. There's nothing wrong with money. Okay? There's nothing wrong with a medium of exchange. There's nothing wrong with having a lot of money. Okay? It just means you've done a lot of good things. Okay? Now, of course, you can, using other people's system, get money by exploitation and theft. Okay? And trickery. So just as in any system, I can knock somebody over the head. Money or not doesn't make me immoral. It's the society and the society values and the values of that I share that would have what I do with money be immoral. Mansa Musa had money, gold. And what did he do with it, Dula?
He traded it in goods.
You need to go back and read... read the class and listen to the things again, son. Tavon, what did he do with it?
He did something with camels, I think it was.
Okay. You need to go back on the wiki space for there are the links for all of the text chat and all of the class. Both of you are, it's wrong. I don't know whether you know it or not, but what you're getting right now is an oral quiz, okay? That's what you're getting, all right? And and I already told you that Mansa Musa was going to be on the quiz. And brothers just bombed, you just got to go back and read that. So put in your own notes that you got to go back and read about Mansa Musa. And the links are in this, in the text chat, okay? And in relationship to... that particular event. I mean, there are lots of things that Mansa Musa may have done. We're only talking about a particular trip that he made and what he did with it. And that had to do with, we were making that point relevant to the gold standard and whether or not the value is in the gold or in their case, the way they did it then, or was the value in the scarcity there. So, for you to know that. All right. Thank you, Tavon, for that jump off. There. Abdullah, you're next. But takeaways, my brother. You studied, you prepared, you're ready for the class today by making sure that you're up. Welcome back, Safia, with what the concepts are that we're to be dealing with. So, your takeaways.
I guess it's the same as...
Don't guess, son. Go to your notes and pick out the ones that are most important. You have several pages of notes and several things have been assigned. I don't want any guessing. Just go to your page and say what those are. Leave off the guessing part. What I've asked is for us to start with... one, I asked whether people had reviewed the class and the audio. And then also to now, let's start this class by... the takeaways, salient issues you've taken away from last class, or if you can include previous class if you want to, but last class, and any questions from last class or previous classes. So, warm up, takeaways, questions. Come on with it. And Abdullah, I'm not blocking you off. Whenever you're ready, you can come on as well. I'm just bringing Safia into the conversation.
I believe it was Tavon was saying when, President Obama was making all these moves to get us out of debt and he was borrowing the money, and basically borrowing the money is just putting us deeper into debt. So, that's one of the points I took away, and the fiat money, which was money not backed by precious metals, like the tally sticks, that was another point took away, and I think that's it.
Okay, thank you, but I need a little clarity. What is your conclusion about the borrowing of the money, and then what is your conclusion about the fiat currency? Or the tally sticks, I didn't get a clear sense of what you're taking away from that?
I guess for the borrowing into debt, it's just we shouldn't do it, and we should find some other way to get out of debt besides borrowing ourselves deep into debt. And maybe fiat money might be maybe a way to do that, or maybe like another idea that was given in the Secret of Oz was just the government creating their own currency that's backed by the government instead of these banks.
Okay. Where does the federal government borrow money from?
I think the banks.
What bank? You know, like, you know, Bank of America in Charlotte?
No, is it the Federal Reserve, I think? What are you saying? Sorry, I asked you what happened to say.
You're right. I don't want you to have to think about that, though. That's something for you to know. Does the government borrow money from other countries?
Yes, for wars and stuff like that.
Okay. I want you to find an example, Abdullah, of an information about this country borrowing money. Are we indebted to any other countries? Like, you often will know that Haiti or what they call a third world country, I don't, I call them first world countries, may borrow money from the World Bank and become indebted to European countries. Are you familiar with that? Are all of y'all familiar with that? Is that something that you've ever heard of before? You ever heard of countries, so-called third world countries, being in debt?
I know that the United States is in debt to China, I think it's up to $700 billion now.
Very good. So the United States is in debt to China. All right. What we're going to do, not right this minute, but we're going to double back. You just make a note of it. Look at how things work when countries are in debt to other countries. IMF, International Monetary Fund. Y'all type that down. International Monetary Fund, IMF. Understand, if we're going to understand the economic conundrum, many things that apply to countries, other countries that we think are poorer, also apply to the U.S., not because of our poverty, but because of our greed. But still it's there. And that, so question, whenever the nation is in debt, either to the Federal Reserve or to other countries, how does that affect you and me? What's the direct effect, some direct effects on the taxpayer, on your parents, on you, when the nation is in debt?
Higher taxes.
Okay, that's a guess. Higher taxes. Anything else?
When a nation is dead, they take more money out of your tax dollars and less money to the services that are needed, like the police department and the sanitation.
Absolutely. Bingo. That's a key one. That is, more of your tax dollars that are designed for your goods and services and keeping your country running, to pay what's called debt service. Type that word down. Put it in your camera. It's called debt service. You're servicing the debt, okay? Let's see if we can. Safia, can you come up with a quick example if we were using, here a hypothetical example of that would illustrate debt service?
A hypothetical?
Well, you can be hypothetical if you want a real one. We really mainly want to illustrate debt service, okay? and so we got debt. Then you'll hear something called debt service, okay? And that's when you're taking your money to pay debt, and very often the interest on the debt, okay? So when you pay back a debt, like when you buy a house, What's the debt service on the house? Anybody know? $100,000 house. What's the debt service on that $100,000 house, typically, on a 30-year mortgage?
What do you mean, like a certain percentage out of the cost of the house?
Well, typically, you've learned from Mama Fia that you're going to pay three times as much for a house on a typical 30-year mortgage. But you borrow $100,000, and you don't just pay back $100,000, you pay back $300,000. So your debt service, okay, the principal and the interest, and in this case, the interest is two times the amount of the principal. Y'all see that? So if I'm a country and I borrow money to work, help build up roads, infrastructure, etc., and in anticipation that I'll generate enough money in my economy to pay you back, plus interest, that's debt service. Now, what happens if I have an earthquake while I'm trying to get my country together to pay you back? Or if on a personal level, I break my leg, am I likely going to be able to pay you back?
No.
Or I borrow some more if I can. And after a while, the interest on the debt is huge. And just even the interest. And as you can see with the house, the interest, with that example, the house is twice that of the principal. And it can also be like that with countries. So that a lot of money that they use, that they their citizens create, go to pay debt and not to improve the circumstance of the country. Then it's easy to say, see that poor country. Or for folks to say, well, tell you what, then I'm going to force you, since you owe me and you haven't paid me, for you to grow a certain kind of crop that I will be able to buy at below market prices. Y'all stay with me here. And let's make that a pick either an African or a Caribbean country that you can keep in mind while we run this example. All right? Come on, y'all. Thank you, Nima. Come on. Others? Afia, are you in the class? Abdullah, are you in the class? And answer the question, please. Answer the question, please.
I didn't hear the question.
Well, tell me what's going on that you didn't hear the question.
I think I might be a delay because of the simple fact that I just heard you say I'm here. So, I mean, am I here? So I didn't hear the question at all.
Okay. A delay. Okay. Let's try this. Even with the delay, the question would have come late, but it should have come. Question is, I asked you, as we go through this example, pick an African country or a Caribbean country. All right, Abdullah, ask your question, please.
I want to put the question on African.
They understand you.
Never mind.
Okay. Quickly go and find out, and I want you to do this in 60 seconds. At 120 seconds max, so you got 2 minutes max. For the country you picked, I want you to identify the amount of national debt, and if you can, to whom they owe that debt. Okay, Tavon, next question is, who do they owe that to? Also, Tavon, go now for what do they produce? What's their gross national product? How much money do they produce every year? See if you can find that. Sites in, too. All right, so what's the amount of money? It says it owes 0.2% of its gross national product. How do you go 0.2%? You can't do a 0.2%. Percent is either. So, Nima, try to find out what the Congo is in. What's its debt? All right, y'all, let's roll. All right, let's talk about it. Wherever you are. I mean, there were some other questions, but let's talk about what you got. Amount of indebtedness. I need somebody to illustrate to me in ways that I can understand. What is $1 billion? How much is $1 billion?
$1 billion is 1,000 million.
1,000 million. Okay, good. Excellent. Any other graphic ways, analogous ways, to help me or others understand what $1 billion is?
If you have a million, if you have 1,000 sections of $1 million.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. I have $1 billion. How many houses can I build if it costs me $100,000 to build them? All right, Tavon, you can work on that. While you're working on that, after you say Trinidad is $4.3 billion in debt, to whom? Sister Afia, are you still here? Okay. All right. Well, you can put a pin in it. You can do some research on it for homework. Put a pin in it so you can find out. You can do further research on that. Nima, did you ever get how much the Congo is in debt? And to whom?
I'm still trying to find out who they're in debt to.
All right. All right, so right now, let's just say they're in debt to the International Monetary Fund. That may or may not be the case. That may be part of it, not all of it. And in either of your cases, we have Kenya with a $6.9, almost $7 billion in debt. The Congo is $435.8 billion in debt. That seems to be the highest we have so far. Trinidad is a $4.3 billion in debt, and Ghana is $5.27 billion in debt. What I want you to figure out, not now, is, in addition to the questions I've asked, how do they pay that back? How does the country raise the money to pay whoever they owe back? Okay, so type that in the text chat so that I know that you understand that that's a piece of homework for you. And the relevance of it is so that we understand, begin to also understand, how does the U.S. do the same thing? It's just a good idea as you're listening to the news, and I know you listen to the news and read it, for you to have a sense of how this debt stuff works and what the problem is, you know, with it. All right, let's go to the United States. United States budget right now, for budget for this coming season that Obama proposed. What are the numbers for the budget? It is in order to run the government.
What's the order of numbers?
Not the order of numbers. What is the amount of debt? I mean, what not the debt? What is the budget? What's the budget for the United States? Isn't it amazing that, like, your mother and father, they know the budget they have for the month, the budget they have for the year. They know how much money, what their salary is, and then what they also make based on being self-employed, if they are, and that's the amount of money they have. And then, you know, then there are the things they need. Anything that goes exceeds, anything they need or want that exceed what their income is, they borrow, right? So if a $20,000 car exceeds your parents' income for the budget for this year, they will then borrow money. But what's the country's budget? Fiscal year 2010, or you can give me proposed budget 2011. What's the budget? Right? All right, come on, folks. Thank you, Nima. What you got? What's the budget?
$1 trillion?
Okay, folks, tell me. Gotta talk to me. What's going on? Talk to me. On the mic. What you doing? What you finding? Where are you?
I'm reading this chart that I put into the text chat and trying to figure out, like, what is what on this chart.
I'm still looking.
And Abdullah, Safia, what do you find? What do you got? Where are you?
The same way. That's why I didn't put anything in there.
I found $3.834 trillion.
All right, put the link there. You found it there. All right, and put the amount that you found there, please, sir. There's an authoritative link, if you've ever seen one. Ron, would you put that number that you put in the text chat, please? Okay, very good. All right, so we're about at $4 trillion, and about half of that will be collected in taxes. The other half will be borrowed. All right? So just want you to keep that for right now. I want you to know how to get to the what the nation's debt is, I mean the nation's budget, okay, just like your family has a budget. And if your budget goes over, if what you need or want goes over that, then you will borrow it if somebody will lend you the money. All right? So I want you to keep that process in mind as we review other things. And you also can keep $4 trillion as the budget, and $2 trillion will come from taxes, and another $2 trillion will be borrowed. All right? The two of the last links that I put in are from the White House and their official budget documents. Just make sure you download them and have them. We'll come back to them pretty soon. All right. From your notes on The Secret of Oz, okay, give me the name of what is the relationship between the Revolutionary War and currency? Anybody, use your voice. What's the relationship between the American Revolutionary War? But simple questions then help lead up for it. When was the American Revolutionary War? Thank you, Nima. Looking in your notes. If you don't have it in your notes, then answer a question. When was the American Revolutionary War?
I'm looking at my notes now, but I'm trying to go off the top of my memory. It was like, wasn't it in the 1780s?
Oh, you're in the right ballpark. You got to get better than that. If you want to talk about, you know, you need to know what the some of this basic information in order for you to follow the storyline, in order for you to understand history and how it impacts now. Okay.
It was like 1775 to like 1781.
Uh-huh. All right. When did this country become a country? Because during the 1700s, what you have is of 1750, 1740, 17, whatever, you have colonies of Britain and France and Spain.
Was that July 4th when they said that they became independent?
What year?
It was 1776.
Okay, so the United States declared its independence in 1776, but the war wasn't over. Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying, Abdullah?
May you ask that question one more time?
Yeah, I'm saying 1776 is, you're saying the United States declared its independence. Yet you have that the Revolutionary War was going on 1775 to 1783. So you're saying it declared its independence while it was still at war. So Britain didn't observe that independence until after the war. Is that what you're saying? Any of you? I'll just tell you why.
Yes.
Okay. Back to the original question. What's the relationship between the Revolutionary War and currency?
I think it was, for some reason I didn't have it in my notes, but I think it was that, because of the Revolutionary War, they had to raise taxes or induce funding for the war? It was something along those lines.
Not quite. Yes, though.
During the Revolutionary War, that was when, I think that was when the currency got changed from a gold standard.
I guess, but nope. You got to get your timelines right. Okay, now this is a important part of the history that's covered in The Secret of Oz. Okay, I've said to you before, you have to follow the historical trail. Okay. Continental currency. If those colonies, because it wasn't the U.S., they weren't United States. If those colonies were colonies of Britain, what money do you think they used?
British money.
That's right. And who controlled the value of the British money?
The British government.
Got it. So, the colonists, being so far away, created their own currency called a continental currency. And the British didn't want them to use their own currency. How come you think that? What's your guess about why the British might not, without even doing the historical review, might not want them to have their own currency?
Because they would lose control over the colonists and what they would buy or sell, or, you know, they would just lose control.
Very good. They would lose control, okay? And so they didn't want to lose control, and but the colonists wanted to have to be free of its and to use its own currency, okay? It would be like if we use the Aya decided that among us and among a growing member of us, we wanted to use the Aya dollars. And someone says, no, you can't use those dollars. You have to use our dollars. Would that be a little contentious? And so a key part of the Revolutionary War was a fight to maintain the continental currency. Now, I'm not saying our, because black people weren't engaged in that argument. Black people were engaged in the argument to be free, okay? And during the Revolutionary War, we fought for the British to be free, because the British promised us freedom. And George Washington later, upon getting his butt beat, decided he was going to do the same thing, so he offered Africans our freedom. These are the colonists offering Africans, both of whom hold us in captivity, but offering us our freedom if we were to fight on their side. So, so were Africans fighting for America or for the colonists? Yes or no?
Yes, sir.
You said, were they fighting for America or the colonists?
Yeah, were they fighting America and the colonists? Were they fighting for the colonists? In this battle, people will talk about Christmas addicts, and they'll talk about people, and they'll say black people were fought in America for the Revolutionary. I mean, in the Revolutionary War for America. The question is, did they? Even says no. What do you say, Tavon? What do you say, Abdullah? The short answer is no. They were not. And this will you have to know this. This will be on your tests and every other thing. They were not fighting for the colonists. They weren't fighting for America. They weren't even fighting for the British. Welcome back, Safia. We were fighting for our freedom. We fought with the British and we fought with the colonists for our freedom. They were not fighting for us to be free. They were fighting to have control of the currency and get more freedoms from the control of the British so that they could continue to keep us under control. Don't you be clear about that? So be clear that there is no United States at this time. There are the colonies. All right. So let's. I want you to know the connection between the continental currency, and you might type that in the text chat. Okay, Nima and Tavon already have. Very good. There are some, you might do a little research on it, but the key, what we want you to make sure you know here is the colonists, white colonists, wanted to control their own currency and not have it controlled by the British. The British wanted to maintain control of the currency. Because when you control a currency, you control a people. You don't have to worry about who's in office if you control the currency. Understand that?
Yeah.
All right. So that's the link that I want you to make with the continental currency. And if you want to look, you know, more and deeply into that, you can. But I just want you to understand, different than most people who don't account for the struggle over who's going to control the currency, that's often not put into your understanding of the Revolutionary War. What's understood there is taxation without representation. That is, the British was taxing the tea. But they had no say-so as a representation about how the money is going to be spent.
May you repeat that one more time?
But it's generally taught, and y'all can write this down, because you got to know the general storyline of American history, but you also then have to know a deeper line. That's why when you go to I Education Institute, you learn twice to three times as much as other folks. Okay, the normal storyline is the Revolutionary War was fought because you have representation with taxation without representation. Taxation without representation, okay? And that is, the British were taxing the tea, they said, while and not representing, but the colonists didn't have say-so, that's what representation means, in where the money was going to be spent, how the money was going to be spent. All right. So similarly, if you're taxed, whether it's a tax on your candy that you buy or your iPods that you buy or whatever, your clothes, and do you or your parents have any say-so in how it's being spent? And there's a system for that, and that is you have elected representatives and city council people and county council folks and state representatives and all of that. Okay. That's what is said. That's not what is. That's not. I don't mean that that wasn't an issue, but that was nowhere close to the major issue. Okay. That's what I'm correcting, that storyline. Okay. Now, it doesn't mean that that wasn't one of the issues. Okay. We can fight for five different things, six different things, seven different things. Okay. But that was not the major issue. At all. Okay. Now, so we got the continental piece. I want you to follow through when you're doing money as debt. You wanting to look at part of this whole thing is understanding the history. Piece in this country. Now, we're not going to deal with Rome, and we're not going to deal with tally sticks right now. I will just make a stop along the way. Where were tally sticks used as a form of currency? What was the king's name or the person in charge who made that happen? What country? What was the person's name? Tally sticks. Go to your notes or your memory.
Okay, I don't have them in my notes. All I have is that tally sticks were an ancient form of currency for paying taxes, but I don't have who the king was at that time.
Now, here's why, Nima, you got to watch ancient form of currency, and this is, other people may say it, but you, when you count ancient, you're talking about starting at 200,000 BCE. But you're talking about current Kemet when you say ancient. When I say ancient, because I don't even call what happened in Britain ancient, okay? It may have been, but our time clock goes way, way, way back. So you got to know, you can't just say ancient like it was back there someplace. You got to say, kind of get put it on some kind of perspective. Okay, timeline. Okay, otherwise, folks, Henry, good. Henry who? Henry when? All right, Safia and Abdullah, you in the game. I want some participation, brothers and sisters. You too. I got Tavon and Nima participating well. I want some faster participation from you two, or else I'll just ask you to do some work outside of class. All right, 1100. Where? What place? Tavon?
It was Britain.
All right, Britain. All right, great. Now, Afia, how did the tally sticks work? Thank you, Tavon. Don't know? Say you don't know. If you do, come on and tell us with your voice. How did these tally sticks work? How do you use sticks as currency? Tally sticks is what we're talking about. Tally sticks. Currency. Okay. Have you watched and taken notes from The Secret of Oz, Safia? All right, show me your notes page. Put your link to your notes page, please, ma'am. And in The Secret of Oz, they tally sticks is what they refer to. Tally. T-A-L-L-Y sticks.
Did you want me to answer that question?
Yes, sir. Any question I ask that you want to answer? I'd love to hear your voice.
Tally sticks, they were like, depending on the size, and then they had like these notches cut in stone to show how much they were worth, and they would trade those for, they would trade tally sticks for goods. And it was supposed to be, better than gold, because, like, the banks didn't, control it, or, the government didn't have to borrow huge amounts from it, from the banks, and it would be like in debt all the time. So, the tally sticks were like government backed, and and it kept them out of debt.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Appreciate it. I want you to be clear about that. And one of the good things about the internet, if you see something mentioned, yes, Tavon.
And also, I remember them saying that, this wasn't in my notes, but prevent, like, from them being barred, like, you counterfeit in them, they would break them, and the wind would only break, like, one way, so if someone tried to bring back the other half of the tally stick, and it didn't fit, then they would try to take it, and that's how they prevented people from actually trying it.
Right. Okay. Who is this author, and the narrator in the story, The Secret of Oz? I heard several times you said they, and they didn't say. Who is the they we're talking about?
There was only that one man, and I don't know his name or anything, but I know it was just one dude.
Right.
What's his name? Bill Still?
I don't know. You tell me. What's his name, Safia? What's his name, Abdullah? One of the reasons I want you to do it is because you need to be able to say, according to blank blank in The Secret of Oz, this is what. Or if you're reading on Wikipedia or some other place, you say, well, according to blah, blah, this is what. And this is so important because you'll get different versions of things. When you just say that's what happened because you read one source, then you're not being intelligent, okay? Just like your parents were often, if you were in fights with kids and, you know, somebody started crying, she would go and listen to both sides. Okay, Abdul, you tell me what happened. Okay, Neil, you tell me what happened. Okay? Similarly, you start referencing what you say when you make facts or when you make statements of facts or conclusions according to, all right, now somebody help me. Tavon says his name Bill Still. What is this gentleman's name? Okay, according to Bill Still, in the movie Secret of Oz. Boom. Now, if you're getting your information someplace else, then you can say according to this book or according to this source, etc. All right? I want to start hearing that in your reporting when you're talking about tally sticks and how they work and how they don't work, etc. All right? Give me historical figures that you have put in your notes or recall from this Secret of Oz.
I have Ben Franklin, Abraham Lincoln, Julius Caesar, and Shakespeare. I think that's it.
Okay, great. I'll put those in the text chat. Very good. Everybody, anybody else? Give me your mix.
I know Thomas Jefferson. Why did you?
Hey, put that in there. Afid Abdullah.
Watch my notes.
Okay. All right, so let's take each one of those in turn. But I want everybody to contribute. Safia, I want your contribution. Names of people that you took from your notes as you listened to and watched The Secret of Oz. Same for you, Abdullah. I don't want you to try to watch it again. I want you to go to your notes. Talk to me. Okay. Let's then go with... I'm sorry I'm not hearing from you, Abdullah or Safia, on this question. Tavon, Thomas Jefferson is the only person you remember, only person you have in your notes from that whole video. Only other historical figure.
All I have is Julius Caesar and Thomas Jefferson.
Julius Caesar and who?
Thomas Jefferson, who wanted to do it.
Wanted to do what?
The tally six thing, the... government premium currency.
Tally six was the only what? A little louder, please, and sharper. Okay. I can't hear you. You can come again. I heard you, but it was a little fuzzy. I didn't hear Thomas Jefferson. What? But I asked you to type in the text chat any name of a historical figure that you had. That's what I asked you to do, so we could get a piece and go with that. Okay. So let's start with the oldest. Julius Caesar is older than Shakespeare or vice versa? What's the oldest, Julius Caesar or Shakespeare? Safia. Nima, you can answer as well.
Julius Caesar is older than Shakespeare.
You agree, Safia. All right. So what does Julius Caesar have to do with this? Have to do with this discussion or this topic?
Julius Caesar changed the money system with using gold money. That's all I have in my notes. I think he was the first person to start I'm not sure what he did, but he changed the money system in some way.
Of course, you know the great question is, and you're on the right track. The next question is how? How did he change the money system? You know, what's significant or salient about what he did? You know, that's the key. All right, anybody else want to help Nima out? What do you have in your notes, or what do you recall about Julius Caesar? Relationship to
money. He crashed the economy.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
He changed the economy to a gold standard, and then he had more control over it, and then poverty came in.
Do you agree with that, Nima?
I agree with the part that he changed the system to gold standard. I think he did. It was in a negative way. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but by changing the money to that system, he ended up doing something negative to the economy. I don't know exactly what.
All right, so we gotta find that out. Go ahead.
This is like, it's a little side note, but when I try to open up the video, it says that the video is private now and it can't be viewed.
Well, I'm viewing it. Let's see. I'll put a link in the text chat if you can.
It's fine.
I want you to be able to have access to it. I don't want you to read it now. I'm going on what you have, and if I'm asking you a question and you don't have the answer, then that's what you're going to put in your notes to search. Yes, you may, sir. All right. So all we know is Julius Caesar did something with the money, okay? But you don't remember what his point was. Why did he do something with the money? Why did he put Julius Caesar in there, okay? All right, next person that you have on the list, Shakespeare. What does Shaky Baby say?
I don't know that either. I just have Shakespeare 1564 to 1616.
I appreciate that. You're on the right money. You know, and you follow the direction to identify historical figures. Excellent. Now we want to begin to just hone in on why did he mention Shaky Baby is what I call him, you know. I don't generally hold these European folks in the reverence that other folks do, and one of my ways of doing it is I nickname them. Anybody else? Abdullah, Safia, what did he say about Shakespeare? And what does Shakespeare have to do with this video in terms of money? All right, let's move on. Just so that you know, if you're looking, you're trying to find where it is, you'll begin to find the discussion about 11:30, okay, is where he ends talking about Christianity and the Bible, and then begins to go 11:45. So put that note in the text chat. And Secret of Oz, 11:45. All right. Hello.
All right.
What was at 11:45?
11:45. He begins to take you from Romans, and then specifically at 12:22, he then begins to Bill Steele begins to talk about 1206, and then he goes into around 300 BC, whatever. So you expected to know that. And actually, what you have here is he shifted where folks were then a plentiful form of cheap money, which spurred building and that kind of thing like that. Okay, so you begin to get early on in European history. Now, again, please don't say just history, because by the time this is going on, Africa was old and gray. and waiting for a rebirth. So it had gone through many money systems changes, etc. Right now, I want you to know how this particular part works, because this particular part goes directly into how money system that we have now. All right. Let's go on to the next person in the text yet. Lincoln, I think, would be the Ben Franklin is older than Lincoln. So what has Ben Franklin got to do with the with money and money systems, according to this author, Bill Steele? Safia, are you here to answer the question? Abdullah, are you here to answer the question?
Yes.
And answer. All right. Abdullah, please answer.
I didn't hear your question.
I'll put in your link for your notes from The Secret of Oz, please, sir.
Do you see them?
Yes, I see them. You have Julius Caesar changes the money system, but you don't have how he changed the money system. I want you to know how he does that. Gold money equals depression. How is that? Okay, I'm just reading from your list. This is what I expect you to go. I want you right now to go, since you're not into the class, you're not giving me the feedback, what I want. I want you to go on this page. Type this in the text chat as I'm talking to you. I'm specifically going from your page, okay, and asking questions specific to your for what you've already done, okay, so that you can do it independently. Let's see what we can get from you from your page. Tavon and Nima, hold on just a second, please. And I know we're running close to the end of class, but I'm not going to just be calling on you and Abdullah. It ain't working. You got to get your either computer system together or whatever, but you can work independently. Number one, Julius Caesar changed the money system. How did he change the money system and why? What effect did it have? Type that in the text chat, please. You can also listen. If I'm going too fast, you can listen to the recording as I put it up. You can actually start recording yourself, and you can only record that part if you want to. Tally sticks, who? And dates. Who instituted tally sticks? What's the date? Why was it important? I want you to argue. You have an essay, Fiat Money versus Gold Money Backed by Precious Metals. Take a position and defend it based on what you've learned so far in class, and make sure you use some of the historical examples from the videos. All right? So you have serfdom was legally banned. What has that got to do with anything? Answer me right now. What has that got to do with money in the economy?
I don't know. I just put it down there. I just thought it was important. I don't know where that was going.
Yeah, we need a higher standard than that, son. If you put something down, that means you think it's important. That means it's important enough to take time to understand at least what the author is trying to say about it. How does it fit in the storyline? What's important, or what does the author think is important about it? Otherwise, there's no reason to put it here. Otherwise, that's you can just almost go to any place, pick up a statement, type it in the text chat. Okay? I expect for you to know and do that. You have gold money equals depression. Prove it. I'm on your page. Gold money equals depression. Prove it. You have, if banks create ample money, we're prosperous. If not, we starve. Who said that?
Bill Steele.
Oh, really? That was a quote from him?
Exactly, word for word.
He wasn't quoting somebody else at the time?
I don't think so.
Uh-huh. You might check that out, because he was talking about a historical reference there, I think. I'm not sure about it, but you we'll check it out. I know you have the words right down right. The key is what we're looking for is a connection. All right. Okay. Start doing that, please. Also, I want your page, anything you start putting on your page, your note page, I want you to be responsible for knowing. You got to put a little bit more, or at least you know, so I can ask you on anything, and you know what it really means. You have all money is created out of debt. Is that all money in the world?
Because all of our money, which is us Americans.
Okay, then say that. No, you know, I don't care what he says. Well, you have to translate some of the stuff, just like we translate slaves into captives, okay, or Africans in captivity. You translate it, because, you know, universalism, the syntax of oppression. Speaking of which, please explain to me, what is universalism, the syntax of oppression?
I don't know.
Fill in your text chat, okay? If you don't come to class more prepared, don't come. I don't want this anymore, okay? You got to put time in this class and understand what's going on. We spent too much time with universalism and syntax of oppression for you to be able to just answer, I don't know. So come to class prepared or else don't come. Got that? Want to know
what prepared?
You want to know what prepared means? It means that you've done the assignments, okay? Anything we've covered in class, you have studied it so that you know, you have some inkling of where it goes, okay? You've studied the text chat, you saved the text chat, you've gone back and listened again or asked questions and emails and other things like that. You either come prepared or don't come. All right, I got a few more minutes. You are dismissed, Abdullah. Have a good lunch. I expect for you not to go to lunch. I expect for you to start doing this work and put the results of it on your page. The next few minutes, I'm going to turn my attention to Nima and Tavon, the only students who right now seem like they're doing the work. Bye. All right. Folks, it's, you know, time to take things to a higher standard. I really appreciate that the two of you have done your studying. I'm not wasting any more time with you know, I don't mind explaining stuff, going over it, backing through it, but it means you've tried to understand it, you put some time with it, and then it's a pleasure to go deeper. All right, let's go. We were dealing with Ben Franklin. What's the significance of Ben Franklin to this money issue?
Ben Franklin issued money without debt for the benefit of all citizens equally, and that's also what Abraham Lincoln did. And he was giving examples of people who would issue money without debt for the benefit of all citizens equally. And Ben Sell, he offered that as a kind of a solution for getting out of debt, is to, like, basically eliminate debt and interest like that.
Okay. Great. Tavon, do you agree with that?
I agree with it. I didn't have that part in my notes. But
If you don't know, said I don't really know. I don't really remember. I didn't focus on Ben Franklin, okay? I don't want no jazz stuff if it sounds, okay? If you know, then say I agree with that. If not, says I don't know. No. Now, if you remember part of it but not all of it, you can say that. But I don't want you to be jiving, okay? So do you remember what the movie Bill Steele reported about Ben Franklin in this regard?
No, man.
And say that, and we're done with it. Okay, I ain't mad at you. And you know, there's a whole sense of you can't. I don't necessarily expect for you to know it all, but I do. I can tell whether or not you're in it or not, whether you're taking notes and you're following the piece. Just know that anybody that's mentioned that you think is noteworthy, you certainly are expected to know what they said. You know, and how does that fit, or why did the author use that as an example? An example of what? Okay. So that's your homework, part of your homework, Tavon. You got to answer that question. Part of what makes this persuasive is that you understand what's happened historically. You understand the struggle. Most people don't know U.S. history from its struggle for money. Many people know U.S. history through its wars, okay, with other people. Okay, with other countries. So they count from this war to this war to this war to this war. And that's one way to know history. Okay, you want to also, in this class, we're going to know it around its struggle with money and the kind of economy it's going to be having. Right? Nima, there's a relationship between what Ben Franklin was doing and what was done in Rome. Okay? Cheap money, and so part of what you want to understand is, what does this author say that when money is cheap and plentiful, not based on a scarce standard, okay? Because so the precious metals creates a sense of scarcity. The other things, you know, tally sticks, they aren't made out of any precious wood. It's just wood, but they symbolize certain things, okay? So you want to begin to get the, at least according to this author. Now, there are a lot of economists that talk about money in different ways. So this is why it's important, according to Bill Steele, in da-da-da. All right. Now, let's go to, you already said Lincoln. What drove Lincoln to do this currency? What drove Lincoln to, what was the name of the currency Lincoln issued, and what drove him to do it?
I don't know for sure.
Okay. Tevon, you got a guess?
I'm not sure.
Okay. He went to the bankers for money for the war. All right. They wouldn't give it to him. He issued a currency, and the title of the currency was. Drum roll, anybody. Good guess. Great guess. Pounds are British. The British pound. Okay? British pound. Not too long ago, the standard of exchange in the world was the British sterling. Okay? The British sterling. Just like right now, the American dollar is the world's currency in terms of where stuff is, although that's waning, that won't be good for Americans. They're going to feel the heat of it. It'll be like you're living in Haiti. No country is like permanently designated the world's currency. And so the British sterling was, I think until about 1950, 47 or 50. And then I think the U.S., and I don't quote me on that date, I have to look that up, but I know it shifted from the sterling to the dollar. The president, Lincoln, yes, you can, President Dog Lincoln, just a minute, was issued the greenback. The greenback. Remember, that's called the greenback. So that you know, Andrew Jackson vetoed the bank bill to the Senate in 1832. With the central bank killed off, fractional reserve banking moved like a virus through numerous state chartered banks, blah, 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 blah. We'll get back to that so that you really know some of the history of money. It is lunchtime. It is 12:15. Please review your notes. Please review The Secret of Oz so that you know the line, okay? You've already got the first pass, folks. Y'all are good. You've already gone through and you've taken notes. Now I want you to know what's the significance of every person that he mentions. What moves the thing ahead? You see, what you're going to be doing is how do you analyze a piece of a presentation, whether it's a written presentation or an oral presentation. The author has arguments that they make to draw certain conclusions, and you're expected to, whether you agree with them or not, to see what builds on what supports what arguments, okay? You're deconstructing these arguments so that you can understand it, okay? And so if he says Julius Caesar, you need to know what does that support. If he says Otto von Bismarck, okay, then Chancellor of Germany, then what does that support, okay? All right. That's your homework. In addition to anything that I've said so far, it's just for you to get deeper and understand. Now, if you got questions, please ask them. I love your questions, but I got to know that you're putting some time into it. All right. Take care. Have a great lunch. Yes, sir. Talk to me.
Okay. What do I have to do to drop the economic conundrum class?
You cannot drop it. If you don't show up in class, you get an F. And it shows up on your transcript, whatever. You cannot drop it.
So you're saying it's a fourth?
Don't listen. The only way you get out of courses is that your mother specifically tells me that she's agreeing for you not to get out of course, okay? This is a required course. All the social studies courses are required, okay? The only courses that are not are some of the Friday elective classes, okay? you don't have to take certain, you know, classes. For example, Afia's math class, if you already, you know, judge that you're already, you know, strong in that area. But other than that, all classes are, and if you ask a specific meeting with your mother, if you want to drop a class. Right now, you know, I want you to do more work. Tell me what's going on, brother. Why are you jiving? Why you ain't putting your best foot forward?
I don't know. The class is boring the way that the information...
That's all. Forget it. If that's all you
no.
Get away.
No, it's not.
No, that's it. No, you did that last semester. If that's the best you can come up, if you're going to start with there, I don't even want to go any further than that, okay? Forget it. Because you notice, when I say what's going on, you first then flip it. I say what's going on with you, and then you start talking about the class. You don't talk about yourself. I don't want to hear anything from you when the only thing you do is talk about the class and not talk about what's going on with you. Forget, you're going to stay in it. You're going to learn it. You don't learn it, you get an F. Close to it. It's just you got to get better, son. I love you, and I always love you, and I know what you're capable of, and I'm going to keep pushing you because you are not doing anything close to what you're capable of, and you're setting yourself up for a big fall. You're not really preparing yourself for college, you know. And I really care not whether you think it's boring and whether you like the way it's presented or any of that. I don't care about that anymore, okay? I tried to work that stuff with you, and, yeah, I don't get anything from you except for made-up stuff. And, you know, in none of your classes do I see you really putting yourself forward. So, you know, you'll just have to make your bed hard and lay on it. You either do good work and get A's and B's, or and if you think that my grades don't matter in your life, you got another thought coming. All right? I'm done. Go to work.
So, wait, just to be clear, if my mom talks to you and says that I can drop the class and the class is dropped, right?
I have to have a meeting with your mom and you. She can talk to me separately, then I have a meeting with your mom and you. The only way you can drop the class, and I can tell you right now, she's going to have to come real strong for me to approve it.
Okay.
All right. Take care. Yvonne, were you saying something to me? Did I miss?
No, I was just saying that I probably messaged you. My mom, she wanted some more information, and then she told me to tell you after class.
Right, the timeline. Yeah, I have to look and see. Last time I checked that website, it was down, so I don't have to find a brother. So tell him Owusu Osei is his name, and the Origins of World Civ is that chart. So I'll look for that website. Let me see if I can find it right now.
All right, thanks.
Welcome, brother. Make sure you go outside, make sure you breathe, make sure you drink water, okay, that you don't just stay at the computer during your break. All right, take care.